Welcome to Decide to Transform. You made it to level 2, deeper questions leading to deeper answers. I'm Tomas Garza, and I'm here to help you decide to transform. I'll be setting the pace for the process to support your unfolding. Learn and commit to a practice that brings simplicity and awareness of what is ready to be released. Join me now and allow the experience of a deeper sense of love. Welcome, welcome everyone around the world to Decide to Transform. I am your host, Tomas Garza, and wherever you are today, I hope that as you're tuning in, you are healthy and happy and well, along with all of your closest friends, family members, everybody. I hope you're doing well, and I hope that you are enjoying in the Northern Hemisphere here some spring weather. I know some of you are tuning in from Australia and South Africa, so getting ready for fall and winter down there. But wherever you find yourself, I really want to invite you today to take a couple of deep breaths, make yourself comfortable wherever you are, because we're going to continue on the show today the series of really, really hard-hitting, deep subject matter. In the past couple of weeks, we have covered such topics as finding your own calling in life and the benefit of doing that, the benefit of answering the call. And 2 weeks ago, this was a story of my personal pain and personal stubbornness in steadfastly refusing that call for over a decade. That was 2 weeks ago. And last week, we talked about some very, very handy techniques for dealing with difficult people. And by that, just to recap, I mean persistently difficult individuals. And I used the example of my own mother, who I had a difficult relationship with her for many, many years. That is last week on the show. And I really want to thank all of you that have written me via email, that have commented on my social media. Your thanks and your comments mean so much to me. And I want to invite all of you listening to, if you have a question for the show, or if you have comments for the show, please feel welcome to reach out to me, because I love to hear from you, and it gives me great joy and pleasure to know that this message is reaching people, especially the people that it needs to reach all over the world. The email address to send those questions is Tomas, that's T-O-M-A-S, at TomasGarza.com, and I will repeat that again at the end of the broadcast today. So thank you so much for writing in, everyone. I really, really very much appreciate it. And thank you so much for sharing the links to this show on Om Times Radio with people that you know need it, because this message is being broadcast by me because I know that there are people out there, whether it's you or whether it's somebody that you know and you're close to, that will need to hear what I have to say today. And I think personally that everyone needs to hear what I have to say today, because the show topic today is forgiveness and release. We're continuing with this deep thread today, and I will be sharing some personal examples from my own life. This is an idea that my wife, Cindy Garza, came up with and told me about in about the middle of April. She said, you need to start sharing some of your personal details on here, your personal stories. So I've been doing that. And I'll continue with that today. But there's a lot of information that I want to give you, because there's a lot of misunderstanding around the topic of forgiveness. And yet we all instinctively realize how important it really is. We are not programmed, unfortunately, in modern society to forgive. And I know people are listening from all over the world. I'm not just talking about North America and Western Europe here. Modern society in general tends to focus on revenge, and retaliation. We're running around having interactions and experiences with people, some pleasant, some not so pleasant, some downright ugly, some divisive, nasty, abusive, you name it. But we're running around, and as human beings, we cannot help but feel harmed sometimes. We cannot help but feel affronted or discouraged, disappointed, or abused by someone else's behavior or by a group of people's behavior. Right? In extreme examples, this is war, it's genocide in the extreme. But in our daily lives, we all have the feeling of being affronted by somebody. And our society, for whatever historical reasons, where I'm not here to debate that, but everyone wants to, at times, it seems like, focus on revenge, on retaliation. How are you going to get back at somebody? And forgiveness being commonly misunderstood, and I'll be going through and hopefully clearing up some of the most common misunderstandings about that on the show today. Being largely misunderstood, it's no wonder that people are fearful. It's no wonder that people are miserable. It's no wonder that they're mistrustful of each other, paranoid even in certain circumstances. It is the world that we live in by and large. Yeah, turn on the news. Is it positive? I mean, if you're watching positive news on TV, I hope you'll share the link with the entire world, because most of it is negative, especially right now during a global pandemic. It's very easy, especially easy for people to feel fearful, but there's never been a better time. As I've talked about on several past editions of Decide to Transform, there's never been a better time to go deep and do some of the inner work that will not only help you right now, but will also help you in the future as you move forward. So that's the backdrop. A culture of fear, a culture of retaliation, and to top it all off, a global pandemic. So people always appear to be attacking us. Now, we could get in a disagreement with our spouse. We could get in a work-related disagreement. If you are not married and in a relationship, or you wish to be in a relationship, you could still disagree with people. You can disagree with your kids. You can disagree with society and political figures of whatever persuasion. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are. People always appear to be attacking us, and what's very clear that I think we all instinctively understand is how we respond matters. It does. How we respond to a perceived affront matters. Because if we respond with attack, it may be instinctive for us. It may be something that we habitually do, and it might be our fallback, might be our go-to. But if we respond with attack, think about what happens. If somebody says something nasty to you, for example, and you spout it right back, or you say something 10 times worse immediately without thinking, let's say for the sake of argument, that is your MO. Unfortunately, that is your habitual tendency, your reaction. So what happens under that situation? Well, first and foremost, there is not much, if any, sense of goodwill between the two people. Right? An attack effectively makes you want to attack back, and if you do, then you're not really acting from a source of your own power. It's real easy to fall into victimhood in this case. You are the victim of someone else's behavior, and you better give it right back to them, or else. Or else what? That's a question. Or else what? So contrast attack, contrast an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, any other variation of that theme. Contrast that with a practice, and as I'll talk about later on the show, it is a practice of forgiveness. Contrast that with forgiving somebody. Now, what happens when you do that is you're in a different state mentally. You're in a different state spiritually and emotionally. All of the internal stuff that matters, you're in a real, more legitimate sense of your own power if you respond to a perceived affront with forgiveness, with kindness or compassion, or even if you can't do that, by walking away, not saying anything at all. It's certainly better than returning an F-bomb-laced tirade. You are in a place in forgiveness of maturity. I think we all instinctively know that. Maturity and peace. And this is one of the aims, by the way, of spiritual practice of any sort. It does not matter at all what your practice looks like. It doesn't matter if you practice one organized religion, or several organized religions, or none of the above. It doesn't matter how you define spirituality. One of the aims of any spiritual practice is to open up space for us, constructive space in our own minds where we can make different decisions. That is what it's all about, is making a different decision. So when someone yells at you, you have space to do something other than yell right back or throw them the finger or something. You have space to think, to calm yourself if you need to, and to react in a different way, to respond differently rather than reaction, if you prefer. This is not easy. We know this. It's not easy, and just because I'm talking into a microphone for a worldwide audience right now does not mean that I have all of the answers here. As we teach, we also learn. That's why it's said, no one ever learns as much as the teacher. It's true. And we're teaching all of the time. We're always then learning all of the time. There are situations where I fall into habitual tendencies. I recognize them most of the time, but not always. So what I want you to do is, as you're listening today, please, 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 if you do nothing else, give yourself some grace. And I will talk about some techniques for forgiveness, some specific techniques later on in the broadcast. You will want to stay tuned for that. So this is not easy. It's not easy to forgive somebody who's offended us. If it were, we'd all be doing it and we would all be enlightened, and the world that we live in would look completely differently. There wouldn't be conflict, struggle, strife. People wouldn't grapple with one another in business, in politics, trying to get a leg up and compete for what supposedly are limited resources. None of that would be going on if we all mastered the art and the practice of forgiveness. So what does this actually look like? Well, because this is not easy, it's not easy to forgive an offense. It's not easy to forgive an offender. We all relate to this. Happily for us, world spirituality has a lot, and I do mean quite a lot, to say about this subject. And again, it doesn't matter what spiritual tradition you practice or what your background is. Forgiveness matters. Religious leaders, spiritual leaders, talk about it. And you might say they preach it, but there are so many references worldwide to specific practices of forgiveness. There's the Hawaiian practice of Ho'oponopono, which many people practice. It's really wonderful. A Course in Miracles, which I'll talk about on the broadcast today, treats the subject of forgiveness in great detail. And there are references to forgiveness in every major spiritual text in the world. It's very, very important. And when I talk about this, I'm going to say a lot about the text A Course in Miracles. This is something that has been very, very central to me, and a lot of the growth and a lot of the transformation that I have personally experienced over the last 5 to 6 years, especially over the last 3 to 4 years, I would say, is directly related to having the idea of forgiveness drilled into my head. Now, I did this myself by taking up the course and practicing it, practicing the workbook and the text. And this is not a radio show specifically about A Course in Miracles. Just talking from my own experience, in terms of forgiveness in general, this has been very, very central. So I have been reading and meditating on and practicing a certain variety of forgiveness that I think has great worth, and I want to talk about that on the show today. It's very, very important. Now, when I talk about specific practices, again, understand that you must do what works for you. You must take what applies to you. This is a radio show about spirituality and personal transformation. So my views do not equate necessarily to the views of the rest of the world. So if you have a practice that works for you, by all means, please continue to put that into effect in your life. And if you're searching, then please stay tuned, because this is going to be a very, very good place for you to get some information that may help you. So I will talk about true forgiveness in the broadcast here after this commercial break and contrast it with what the world's idea is, and you can take it from there. We'll be right back after this commercial. Stay tuned, guys. You're listening to Decide to Transform on Om Times Radio.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Did you know that you have the power to change anything in your life? Did you know you can do so even with the things that you've already decided are impossible to change? Come join me, Venus Castleberg, on Outside the Impossible as I interview people from around the globe that have literally changed the things they thought were impossible to change just by using the amazing tools of Access Consciousness. Now airing Wednesdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Do you dare to believe that anything really is possible?
Are you considering starting your own podcast? Do you have a book or other content you'd like to share with a worldwide audience? Hello, I'm Tomas Garza, host of Decide to Transform here on Om Times Radio. Myself and Lisa Berry, host of Light on Living, help people like you produce your very own radio show. At Podcast Prosperity, we help you create your show and recirculate your content for multimedia impact. Through creation and launch, we give you the support and mentorship you need and help you create the influence, income, and impact you desire. Contact us at lightonliving.com/podcastprosperity.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome Welcome back to Decide to Transform. I'm your host, Tomas Garza, and I hope you are enjoying your day wherever you are. Today is May 5th as we record this show and broadcast live. And wherever, whenever you listen to this, I hope you're enjoying your day, your evening. It might be 3 o'clock in the morning and you can't sleep. And if that is the case, well, then I'm happy to accompany you. Thank you for tuning in. We are talking about forgiveness and release. And before the break, I made reference specifically to some of the practices as presented in A Course in Miracles, the spiritual text, A Course in Miracles. Some of you may be familiar with it. Some of you may have never heard of it before. Let's talk about how forgiveness is approached and covered. And I also want to recommend a really funny and wonderful book to you in the process. The Course talks about forgiveness as quantum forgiveness or advanced forgiveness, or maybe if you prefer, true forgiveness. These are all words. Words are just symbols anyway, so it doesn't matter what label you put on it. What I'm talking about in actual true quantum level forgiveness is forgiveness as it's meant to be practiced, contrasted with the way it's practiced in the world. So let's talk about that first. In the world, you see all too often people just throwing the word around. Okay, I forgive you. Mm-hmm. Yep, I forgive you. Mm-hmm. People may think that sticks, but often when somebody says it flippantly, or you can just tell that they don't mean it, well, then they don't mean it. It can be misused. It can be very hollow and very ineffective. And all too often we see people that forgive us under certain conditions. There's a string attached. With my mother, it was this way. And you recall from last week on the show, if you've listened to it, I endured decades of extreme psychological abuse from her and persistent psychological abuse that has impacted my adulthood until I made some decisions to break away from that, of course, happily, thankfully. There are several types of forgiveness where there are strings attached, where if you catch yourself saying, I forgive you, but don't do it again, is that real forgiveness? I think you know. The answer is no, not really. I forgive you under a certain condition? No. Forgiveness needs to be like love, unconditional, to be effective, to be real and authentic. So how do you get there? Well, we're going to talk about that. But that is what passes as forgiveness often in the world, is this forgiveness with a string attached, forgiveness with certain conditions, forgiveness with an understanding that, well, I forgive you this time. Anybody's parents ever say that to them? I forgive you this time, but don't do it again. Ever. Something like that. You know, forgiveness with a threat attached to it is not real either. And I think that we all instinctively know that, but it's worth repeating, and it bears repeating, because as adults, we tend to make the same mistakes over and over and over again until such time as we snap out of it. So what's it take for us to snap out of it? I don't know. The term quantum forgiveness contrasts with the forgiveness with the strings attached that we just talked about. Now, the term has been coined by a gentleman by the name of Gary Renard, R-E-N-A-R-D. Gary Renard is the author of a book about A Course in Miracles and about forgiveness that I absolutely love and highly recommend. It's called The Disappearance of the Universe. And the author, Gary Renard, R-E-N-A-R-D, The Disappearance of the Universe is the book, and it is hysterically funny. It is his own personal account of talking about A Course in Miracles and his own experiences in putting what he later called quantum forgiveness into effect in his own life. full of funny stories. He is very relatable, highly relatable. And if you know A Course in Miracles, you may know the book. This is actually something that I highly recommend if you are curious about what this big blue text looks like. Now, I know there are people out there in the world that have a copy of this book and have never opened it. It looks quite a lot, especially if you have the hardbound edition, like a Holy Bible. It looks like a Quran. It looks like a big, thick, sacred text, without a doubt. But inside there is a lot of really helpful information. So quantum forgiveness is looking beyond, I'll define this, it's looking beyond someone's supposed affront of you, understanding with the understanding that they made a mistake. They made a mistake, you made a mistake in perceiving yourself as attacked, because in reality, we can't be attacked. As spirit, as spiritual beings, you name the term, right? Some people say the Son of God, whatever you want to call it. It's not actually possible for us to attack each other in absolute truth. In the relative world, in what we pass off as the real world, then yeah, we attack each other all the time. We hurl insults at each other, bombs get dropped, blows get exchanged, all kinds of negative things happen. But in reality, people have simply made an error in judgment. Now, we've made the same error in judgment. That's an important point. Have we not made the same mistakes as somebody else? So, who are we to pass official, final judgment on them when we've done the same thing ourselves? Now, is this easy? No. Absolutely not. Nor am I suggesting, nor would I ever suggest, that you must. I'm not about an ultimatum here. It is in your highest best interest, and the highest best interest of everyone around you, to practice forgiveness as much as you possibly can. However, if you're not at a place where you feel in your heart that you can actually forgive someone's behavior, then you don't have to go there right now. That's a very, very important point. So a quantum forgiveness could look like any number of things. Real Course forgiveness, based on A Course in Miracles, can look like all kinds of things. I'm going to use my own life as an example here. And as I talked about last week in the situation with my own mother, there was a lot to forgive. Really, a pattern of behavior that stretched over years, and the details of which I'm not going to get into on this show. I did cover this in greater detail last week here on the radio show, but there's a lot to forgive, and you may have relationships with people where you have a lot to work with. And this is something that a lot of people say in any spiritual path, is there's a lot of raw material out there. All of our experiences are the raw material for our own awakening. And when somebody says that in a spiritual text, when somebody says that on the radio, when somebody says it in a book, they're absolutely correct. Because we all have relationships that are more difficult than others with people. So, you know, what does it actually look like and feel like to forgive somebody? Well, let's break this down, because it's really important, and this is not something that people often think about, which is why, to me, there's so much value in spiritual texts and spiritual practices that focus on forgiveness as one of the central tenets of the system. Whatever that is for you, it's really important. So what happens? Forgiveness can be seen as a release. Forgiveness can be seen as a release, and it can be looked at as a release, and most definitely taken as a release. So, a release of what? Well, for starters, it's a release of fear. Think about forgiving somebody. I will use an example of forgiving my mom for years of systematic psychological abuse. So I will think about a particular incident that took place where we had a shouting match. I, as a younger man, was not as calm as I appear on the air today. Now, believe it or not, everybody that takes the mic, everybody that takes a microphone or the stage, or anyone that stands up in front of people worldwide, anywhere, and teaches, has a history. And they have a lot of things that they did wrong. I used to engage in the shouting matches. And I knew that it was not helpful. Can you relate to this? I knew it was not helpful, yet I did it all of the time, especially when I was younger, habitually. Why? I didn't have the tools, and quite frankly, I had not done the personal growth and the personal work on myself to develop that mental space that I keep talking about. I didn't have the ability to respond to a stressful situation with skillfulness, with calm, with resolve. I do now, but I really had to work on that very, very much. So let's just say that there was a shouting match, because there were several. You know, there's no need to pick exactly one, but I invite you to consider and rehash in your own experience. Maybe you had a shouting match with a friend or a family member or your spouse last night or this morning or 15 minutes ago or something. Whatever your situation is, let's work with it here. So forgiving somebody releases you from fear. And it releases the other person from fear energetically. It releases both of you from this sense of pending dread, of, oh, well, I feel like this person's going to retaliate, so I better keep my defenses up. Right? Walking on eggshells is no way to live. We all know this. And whether we do something about it, if we are, in fact, currently walking on eggshells, that's up to us. But this is why shows like this exist. That's why teachings like this exist, to help you in this situation. That is why I'm talking into the microphone right now, to help you wherever you are or somebody that you know. So let go of the fear of retaliation. Forgiveness does that. It lets go, both parties, the forgiver and the person being forgiven, are released from fear and a sense of guilt. Forgiveness actually clears away for people a sense of guilt. Now, there might be some guilt that remains, and if you are a person that feels guilty as a habitual tendency of yours, then you'll know that you have lots of work to do. We all know what work we have to do, and everybody's got some. Let go of the guilt by forgiveness. Let go of burdens. And when you're forgiven, you know, when I forgive my mom, for example, she passed away 4 years ago, so I'm just using this as an example. But when you forgive somebody, you're both free of burdens that don't need to exist. So the burden of fear of retaliation from the other side, and shame if you are the recipient of that. If you don't forgive, then you're going to possibly feel ashamed, quite possibly harbor bitterness, anger, rage that might come out not in 15 minutes, but 15 years. From now, people harbor all sorts of resentments, guilt, burdens in their own bodies that you can see if you've ever been to any kind of an energy healer or, you know, a hands-on energy healer, a Reiki healer, or something. We carry tension in our physical bodies for years and years. Why? Because we have not released them from our minds. Forgiveness is a release. Now, this is very much a practice. And what are the benefits of engaging in this practice? Well, for starters, instant peace of mind for yourself. If you forgive somebody, do you typically feel better about it? Now, if you forgive somebody completely without strings attached, without saying, I forgive you so-and-so, but don't ever do that again, because if you do, then X is going to be the consequence. I'll go off on you. For example, just say, I forgive you. And then that is all that has to be said. Now, we'll talk in a few minutes about different ways you can do this. And in case you're wondering, no, you don't have to actually have an in-person conversation with somebody to effectively, completely, authentically forgive them. That should come as a relief. You don't have to call somebody up. You don't have to write them an email that makes you deeply uncomfortable. You can forgive, and both parties will benefit from this. So you'll want to stay tuned, because I'm going to talk more about that. So stick around for that. Benefits, in addition to a peace of mind, can include the mental space to think, like I keep talking about. Space to make different decisions under what could be deemed a stressful situation. Whereas in the past, as a teenager with my mother, I would have responded to an F-bomb-laced tirade with an F-bomb-laced tirade with a little bit more on the F-bomb than she did, because I needed to have the last word. That was one of my big things to overcome as a younger man, the need to have the last word. Are you that way? Do you know anybody that's that way? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was me. And not easy to overcome. It takes a lot of practice. But the benefits, including the peace of mind and the mental space, include a sense of healing. And if you practice forgiveness often enough, it is one of the key components, no matter what your spiritual tradition or system, to realization. It is one of the key components to spiritual awakening, forgiveness. We'll talk a little bit more about techniques and stress some very important points here after this commercial break. So stick around for that. You're listening to Decide to Transform on Om Times Radio.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hi, I'm Tomas Garza, author of Decide and host of Decide to Transform on Om Times Radio. I want to ask you, if you want something in life, have you decided on it? If not, you'll listen to a limiting story about yourself. You will say you can't, you're too old, too young, etc. Decide to transform in life. Learn what you can choose to believe instead of your limiting stories. Decide. Available now in paperback and ebook.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called the Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee, and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Decide to Transform. I am your host, Tomas Garza, and we're in the middle of a very deep show on forgiveness and release. Now, before the break, I was talking about some of the benefits of forgiveness. Now, you may be thinking, okay, well, you know, I can forgive the dog for peeing on the carpet last night, but my mother? I don't know. That's a bridge too far. My ex? I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. I've been really harmed by certain people. Well, okay. You may find yourself thinking that right now. And what I have to tell you is that's absolutely okay. That in any forgiveness practice, any spiritual practice at all, as you know, if you have one, that it is a journey. It is not something that we're expected to arrive at the final, ultimate conclusion right now. Is that possible, technically, in a blinding flash of light? Sure. Are we going to experience that? No, it's not likely. It's not likely that any of us is going to have a giant blinding flash when we first start, when we first find out about the importance of something like forgiveness. It's really normal. It's perfectly normal to start with what you're capable of. This is one of the things that people have asked me in the past in various capacities, and it's my response all the time. Start where you are. In other words, start with what you're capable of doing. So, does this mean that you have to forgive an abusive ex-spouse immediately if you can't? Well, no, you don't have to do that immediately. If you cannot find it right now, that's okay. And I really want you to give yourself some grace on that. Please, please do that. And do not beat yourself up for not being able to do that. Because, you know, we are only able to work on what we're able to work on right now. It sounds obvious, doesn't it? Well, most of spirituality is so simple that it's perfectly obvious. So start by forgiving the dog for peeing on the carpet. Start by forgiving yourself if you stole a pack of gum from a drugstore in fifth grade, like I did. Full disclosure, forgive yourself for that. Start with what you're capable of. Start with what you can start with. This is very, very important because spirituality, forgiveness is a journey. It's a practice, as you know. And as you begin to forgive things that seem to you more feasible, then what will happen is you will find yourself in a more peaceful, a more loving space automatically. You will find yourself able to progress and begin to let go of things from the past that you know you need to let go of. And it is a process that can take years. It took years for me to forgive my mother for all of the things that she put me through. And, you know, you may have that same relationship from a former spouse, from a former girlfriend, boyfriend, romantic partner, a boss, possibly. It doesn't matter what the context is. Everyone, every single one of us can relate to having difficult relationships with people. And what happens when you're able to forgive them a piece at a time, whatever you can, you will arrive at a place of power and peace where you will have more of the mental, emotional, spiritual, and psychological space that I keep referring to. So here's something that's really, really important. And please pay attention to this. You don't have to have an in-person conversation with somebody. Maybe the person you're forgiving has passed away. My mom passed away 4 years ago. I can still practice forgiveness with her. I did that in her lifetime, and actually we did not have an in-person conversation about it. The circumstances of that situation were such that we weren't having very many, if any, in fact, in-person conversations when she passed. And it was sudden when she did, 4 years ago, as I mentioned. And you can still practice forgiveness even after somebody is long gone. In fact, this means that there is no restriction on space and time for this practice. That is exactly what it means. You can forgive people from ancient history. And it's beneficial. It's beneficial to you. It's beneficial to them. If you don't feel like having an in-person conversation, calling someone up on the phone and getting into an uncomfortable, possibly, maybe not, but breathes everything that moves. That's how powerful our minds are. So when we can direct our minds to forgiveness and release of what no longer serves us, we become very, very powerful indeed. And this is where you can go with it. You don't have to call the person up. You don't have to meet over coffee, luckily. You can just think mentally. Now, what would this look like? Well, you'll have to find the words that work for you. But you can say, I forgive you. I forgive you for, and name what it is or was. And it's also very, very important when you're doing this to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself if you reacted poorly. You forgive yourself for possibly finding yourself in the situation in the first place. We've got to give ourselves some grace. All too often, we extend grace to other people and keep none for ourselves. And we all know how damaging that is. That you don't need a radio show to tell you that. But because we have to hear things 77 times or more as adult learners, I'll say that. Please, when you're forgiving someone else or a group of people or a situation even, forgive yourself for finding yourself in that situation. Please do that. That is very, very important. You can benefit from this. They can benefit from this. And again, start where you are. You do not have to have an in-person conversation. Now, is that helpful? Yes, of course it is. Is it helpful to hug it out with somebody, right, in person or virtually? Yes, of course it is. But if you're not able to do that for whatever reason, then there's no reason not to continue your own practice of forgiveness and release. Because what are you releasing? Fear. What no longer serves you? Fear. Fear of retaliation. A burden, a sense of guilt that people may harbor for years, decades sometimes. This may lead to your feeling inadequate, insecure, or almost sometimes like a loser in certain respects in your life. You could feel that way. People beat themselves up, and if it seems ridiculous, well, you know, it's common. We all do that. We all do this to ourselves. So forgive yourself as well as the other person. So an important point that I also want to make here, this is very, very critical. So as you go about your life here, forgiveness of somebody does not mean putting up with abuse. I'll repeat that. Forgiveness of somebody does not mean putting up with an abusive pattern of behavior. This is a misconception. Okay? It is 100% possible and necessary to forgive somebody. Hold space and compassion for them as a living, breathing human that is making mistakes, and keep yourself safe at the same time. This is required. How do you get there? Well, you practice, because is it easy? No. No, but it's possible, and I want to make this point today because this is a misconception that people often have. That forgiving people does not mean that you have to accept a pattern of behavior. If you're in an abusive relationship, I know some of you out there are. You're in an abusive relationship. You can forgive somebody for all of the harm done when you're ready, of course, but you can do that and still stand up for yourself and insist on your own health and well-being. I call it putting your own mask on first, then assisting others, as a flight attendant might tell you on an airplane. Why? Because everyone around you needs you to be at your 100% best on a given day. Of course, that fluctuates. We all have bad days. We all get sick. We all have periods of time, even bad days, weeks, months, years, decades, it sometimes seems like. Right? I've had a bad decade in my life. I can look back and honestly tell you that now. It's true. We all have that. But forgiveness of somebody does not mean putting up with their behavior. The behavior does not have to continue. Last week on the show, I talked about some examples from language from the book Iron John by the poet Robert Bly, which is technically a book about men for men's concerns. Issues is the wrong word, but that's technically the focus, this applies to everybody. Forgiveness and release applies to men and women. It applies to every single person breathing right now. And if you're breathing right now, we all have forgiveness work to do. Okay? We all have forgiveness work that we need to do, and we can learn to hold space, hold compassion for people as human beings, and still maintain our own personal safety, our own personal integrity. You do not have to put up with abuse, and if you are putting up with it, get help. I will tell you that right now, whatever that looks like, very, very, very critical, not just for yourself, but for everyone. We're all connected, and when one person is being harmed, everyone is being harmed. When one person insists on their own self-worth and stands up for themselves, we all benefit. Very, very important point. All right. So, in the last few minutes that remain to us on the show, I really hope sincerely that you've gotten something of value out of our discussion of forgiveness today. Again, if you're interested in the specific practices of A Course in Miracles, I would recommend those to you. If you're interested in that, I would recommend the book Disappearance of the Universe by Gary Renard to those that are interested in that. Very, very funny. And he labels himself, in fact, a slacker in that book. And very hysterical story of a series of awakenings that he had, and describes not only the philosophy of A Course in Miracles, but also the practice of true forgiveness. Very, very good read. And again, whatever tradition you practice, if you feel in your heart that you're making significant progress toward forgiveness, real forgiveness, then stick with that, please, because we all need everyone to do that. So what I'd like to do here is, again, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I really want to invite you once again to write in, send me an email, or if we're connected on social media, send me a message on Facebook Messenger. The email address is tomas@tomasgarza.com. So that's T-O-M-A-S. And thank you so much to all of you who've written in from literally around the world with your comments for the show. And I'm so happy. Thank you for writing in. I'm happy that this is touching you and transforming your life. That is why I am here. So questions, comments about the show, please feel free to write in. Next week on the show, on May 12th, I'll be going solo again with another heavy-hitting topic. The show's title is Surviving Psychological Warfare. Now, and I'll explain, of course, on the show next week what I mean by that, but it's another heavy-hitting, very valuable set of personal exposés on my part for how I was able to survive abusive situations and come out a leader, very much a leader of people, and someone that can model how you deal with situations. How you come from a background that's not very helpful to being able to help and assist others. It's hard, but I'll talk about that next week on the show. And then I have two amazing guest speakers. I have guest teachers coming up on May 19th and May 26th. On May 19th here on Decide to Transform, I'm going to welcome the CEO of Soul Venture LLC, Robert McGinnis, who has a lot to say about his own growth and spiritual walk, his spiritual practice, helping people transform from career to calling. And that's the 19th. Then I've got Amber Sherrard on the 26th. Very, very inspiring young lady. So guest teachers coming up later this month on Decide to Transform. I'll be back with you next week. And I hope you have a great week, everybody. Please don't hesitate to write in with your questions and comments. Have a great week, everyone. And we'll see you next time.